Next up is Wan Hee again.
Yes.
For Papers Series 3.
Yes. This agenda paper is about issues relating to IFRS 5. As mentioned in Agenda Paper 3, there were two IFRS 5 issues among six issues that the Interpretations Committee decided to revisit in July 2012. Subsequently, the committee discussed the two IFRS 5 issues in September 2013. Agenda Paper 3 has five sub-papers, but I think it's better for me to present the papers all together before the committee have discussion, because the key paper is Agenda Paper 3E. So let me start with Agenda Paper 3A. 3A summarizes past discussion on these two issues. Issue 1 is about write-down of a disposal group. Specifically, the issue is about how to recognize an impairment loss for a disposal group when its carrying amount in its fair value less cost to sell exceeds the carrying amount of non-current assets in the disposal group. Issue 2 is how to account for the reversal of an impairment loss for a disposal group when the reversal relates to an impairment loss recognized for goodwill. In September 2013, the committee did not reach a consensus on these issues and requested a step to do further work on three points. First one is to check whether there are other IFRS 5 issues that the ISP had previously considered but not addressed. Second is to consult current and former ISP staff and members who were involved with the development of IFRS 5. And third, to analyze the issues using more complex fact patterns. Agenda Paper 3B to 3D deals with these three points respectively. In Agenda Paper 3B, we identified two topics of IFRS 5 that the ISP discussed but are put on hold at the moment. The first topic is about definition and disclosures. The ISP issued an exposure draft in 2008 and decided to re-exposure in 2009, but instead of issuing a second exposure draft, the ISP transferred this issue to the financial statement presentation project. The second topic is about presentation of OCI items. The ISP also decided to consider this issue as part of the financial statement presentation project. In this regard, we note that the financial statement presentation project is inactive, but recently in July 2014, the ISP tentatively decided to add a project to its research program on performance reporting in response to stakeholders' request for resuming the financial statement presentation project. Agenda Paper 3C is a summary of a feedback from consultation of ISP staff and former ISP members. We consulted one ISP staff and two former ISP members. Briefly speaking, they had divergent views on issue 1, and on issue 2, they were consistent with the staff view presented for the September 2013 meeting. Agenda Paper 3D, we analyzed issue 1 using an illustrative example. We considered two situations. Situation 1 is that the entity is committed to a sale plan for a disposal group and the sale is highly probable, but has not entered into a binding contract with a potential buyer. Situation 2 is that the entity entered into a binding contract with a buyer of the disposal group. And in this example, because the fair value of the disposal group is a negative amount, the entity has to pay the buyer for taking the disposal group, and we assume that the payment amount is fixed at the fair value. We considered four alternative accounting treatments, analyzing how the accounting would differ depending on situation 1 and situation 2. As you see in the four tables in the paper for each alternatives, in situation 1, the recognized impairment loss differs depending on alternatives. Only in alternative D, the full impairment loss is recognized, and thus the disposal group is recorded at fair value less cost to sell. In the other alternatives, only the part of a potential impairment loss is recognized, and the disposal group is not recorded at fair value less cost to sell. In situation 2, however, the full impairment loss is recognized regardless of what alternatives are. The step view supports alternative A, in which an impairment loss is limited to non-current assets that are with the scope of the measurement requirements of IFRS 5. So that means in situation one, the entity would not recognize the full amount of the impairment loss, but in situation two, it would recognize a liability as a provision for onerous contract for the amount of any remaining impairment loss in accordance with IAS 37. This view is consistent with that suggested in the September 2013 Interpretations Committee meeting. Lastly, Agenda Paper 3E is about the consideration of next steps. So we note that currently there are seven pending issues relating to IFRS 5. We classify them as three categories. Category is A, is the two issues that the committee discussed in September 2013. And category B is the two other issues that we identified in Agenda Paper 3B, which are put under the financial statement presentation project. And category C is another three issues that we received but have not brought to the committee's meeting. In this situation, we think that continuing the discussion only on issue one and issue two in category A would not be efficient. This is because previous discussion in the committee's meetings on these issues indicate that the issues relate to the fundamental principle of IFRS 5, and the committee did not reach consensus over several meetings. Also, the consultation of ISB staff and former ISB members indicate that they have mixed views. We also think that we need to reconsider how to address the two issues in category B that are under the financial statement presentation project. In addition, we note that the topics of the issues in category C are interrelated to the ones in the category B. Consequently, we think that as a next step, it is appropriate to inform the ISB of the list of IFRS 5 issues and ask the ISB whether it would be best to consider all issues together as part of a broader scope project on IFRS 5. And if so, ask the ISB whether it wants the Interpretations Committee to undertake any further work on its behalf. So do you agree with the step recommendation?
Before we open it, I'm going to direct a question to Alan. Perhaps you as well, board members. Presumably, a broader project to examine IFRS 5 would have to be part of an agenda consultation. Alan?
It depends how you interpret things. The ISB in July added a project on performance reporting, and essentially the main thrust of that project is to look at the income statement and its structure. So it picks up one of the strong threads of the FSP project. And if I was to look at that, I think a lot of this falls into the scope of that, because I don't know how you can present an income statement and just ignore discontinued operations, assets for sale and so on. I think they kind of, the thinking goes into it. So if I was to, I had already started to think about the scope of the financial performance project and getting some people to do some work on IFRS 5 and how it fits in. So I'm not sure if it needs a separate thread per se, but I think that a lot of it falls in performance reporting, but there are some other issues, unit of account and all sorts of things that pop into there as well. So I, at the moment, I kind of see it fitting within that. But perhaps that needs to wait for a scope paper from us to take to the board.
I guess the question, and I raised this with the staff yesterday, we've already got two of the issues that do deal with presentation that have been passed over to that group or to that project or whatever. Some of the other issues deal with recognition and measurement, which goes beyond presentation. And so when I maybe was processing the idea of a broader project, my brain was saying a broader project on recognition and measurement issues rather than a broader project encompassing presentation and disclosure. So I had already turned my mind to recognition and measurement. But let me see what the views of others are. Comments, Andrew?
Well, it clearly makes sense to get a strategic steer from the IESB, given the number of issues we're dealing with. But I do think that the first two issues, to me, seem to go hand in hand and deal with unit of account and the interaction between IFRS 5 and IAS 36. And a lot of work has been done on those. They're of a different flavour, I think, to the other issues. And I feel that they could be clarified without an excessive amount of work. So without prejudging what any feedback from the IESB might say, my sense at this stage is that we've got a strong basis to move forward and clarify those aspects right now.
John?
I think the committee has tried twice already on issues 1 and 2 in 2009 and felt IFRS 5 needed to be amended by the board. And then when we discussed this again last year, we were divided, I think, as a committee pretty much down the middle as to on those issues as well. We didn't really discuss issue 2, my recollection. I think it was mainly issue 1, but and it came down to unit of account. I mean, it seems to me unfortunate that we can't resolve it. I mean, I must admit, I would agree with the technical analysis, as I did the last time, that the staff has done in its paper, but what the answer is on issue 1. These are real problems which have been around since they were raised in 2009. I also think issues 5 to 7, we haven't even had a preliminary discussion to see whether we could actually make any progress on them. So putting them in the basket of we should refer them all off to the IASB, I'm not sure. I mean, it seems to me we should at least try with those. So I don't know. I mean, it might be interesting to get a sense from people on where they think the answer to issues 1 and 2 are, to see whether we think we could make progress. Otherwise, we're just going to relive the two previous debates we've had on those issues, and end up nowhere. I do think if we can't resolve them, I think we do need a strong recommendation that the board actually take them on, because I mean, there are a large number of issues with IFRS 5 that arise in practice and that are very, very difficult to actually determine what IFRS 5 is trying to tell you to do.
Just move down the line. Charlotte?
I'd agree with the staff recommendation. I just, from memory, I don't think we could get to a conclusion. I can just see everyone being in the same entrenched views that they think it's clearly one way or the other. So I think there is a conflict in IFRS 5 which needs resolving. I also think, just looking at the new issues, I mean, maybe issue 5 and issue 7 could be dealt with, but I think issue 6 would then lead you back to the same questions you had in 1 and 2. It's a unit of account question again.
I personally don't hold entrenched views. I hold correct views. Reinhardt?
My comments are very similar to Charlotte's. I think our discussions on this, on issues 1 and 2 in the past, I think the outreach that the staff did with ASB board members and staff really demonstrates that the words in IFRS 5 aren't consistently understood. And so some project to deal with that I think would be helpful. So I would agree with the staff's proposal. I think similar to the comments others have made, there might be a way to, using Tony's words, chunk out the recognition and measurement issues, which seem to be causing more of the practice issues, and deal with them perhaps more expeditiously. And to the extent that the performance reporting project deals with some of the presentation issues, maybe leave that for that.
Okay, I've got, to go back the other direction, Tony and then Bonnie.
Yeah, I think I'm in much the same place as Reinhardt. I just think, having listened to the conversations 5 years ago and then participated in the most recent conversations, I don't think we'll come to a landing, because I don't think the standard is sufficiently clear. So I think on 1 and 2, I agree with the staff recommendation. Not spend a lot of time thinking about the other issues, because they haven't been brought to the committee. I'd be inclined to agree with John on those. If we can separate out recognition and measurement from the other issues, then it might at least be worth thinking about whether we can address it.
In fairness, I thought 1 and 2 were recognition and measurement.
Sorry, the disclosure issues. Sorry. Yeah.
Bonnie?
So I may be in the minority here, and I may not have the benefit of the history that some of the other members have, but conceptually, I disagree with the staff's view. I think view D is conceptually the correct answer. However, reading the words of IFRS 5, I don't think you can get to that conceptual view. So that's where I got a little bit stuck on issues 1 and 2. I also would like to see if some of these other issues were brought before the committee, if we could make progress, I guess, on issues 1 and 2, given the long history of discussion. It sounds like there's been, I would say, desperate views that have not been able to be resolved. It seems like there's a little bit of a standstill that I'm not sure could be resolved even if we discussed it more, especially if I'm in the minority. I think I do feel that view is the right conceptual view. The way the standard is written, I don't think you can get there.
On the phones, Fei Long, anything to add?
It seems, you know, we have discussed this issue many times, and it seems reasonable to take on a broader scope project and IFRS 5. It seems difficult to resolve the category A issues without exploring the underlying concepts more broadly. So in general, I agree that the interpretation committee should push it to the board, but I'm not sure what the board can do with this unless it rewrites the standard.
Oh, it would have to revise the standard. I think that's the objective of the proposal to the board. Martin?
Yes, I'm not really sure whether alternative 1 and alternative 2 are alternatives, so to say. It could also be seen as potentially subsequent steps. So for sure, first of all, I would try to push the topic to the board and then see what is, well, their overall, well, flavor, so to say, about the topic, let's see whether another opportunity would be, for example, to do post-implementation review of IFR 5, because it's, I mean, a long time ago since the standard was issued, and appropriately a right timeline to do this, and by doing this, fixing all these issues. But if the board currently says, oh no, we don't want to put it on our agenda, we do not have any resources, and we also see no, well, reason for post-implementation review, I guess then probably we should continue with alternative 2.
Okay. Sandy?
I told one, he yesterday, I read all of these, I got to E, and I was like, I agree with the conclusion, but I spent a lot of time on D, all I kept thinking is not what alternative is better, but there's something here that hasn't been recorded. Some asset wasn't impaired properly and some liability wasn't recorded, just from an economic perspective. So I guess I don't think we can resolve it. I think that it might be broader than a unit of account in the sense of how we allocate it, but that some liability wasn't measured properly before we discontinued it, or something wasn't impaired before we discontinued it. But I guess I think it's a broader project because I think there's other issues to address there. So I don't think we can resolve them.
Okay. I hear broad support for taking it to the board, recognizing that there are three pieces we haven't even talked about yet. I think it is incumbent on us, read one he, in the 2 months you have left with the IASB, to boil it down and can make more concise what we think the problem is. If we just go to the board with a proposal, we ought to think that all y'all ought to rethink discontinued operations. That's not going to be productive. I think we have identified a handful of areas in which the standard does not lead you to unambiguous conclusions. I found most illuminating, I had a conversation yesterday with the project manager who will remain nameless on IFRS 5 around one of the issues. We had completely opposite views, and at the end of the conversation, we walked away saying, oh, I can understand how you get yours, and I can understand how you get yours, and the standard isn't clear. Standard doesn't unambiguously deal with the issue. So I would turn to Michael and Wonhe. Can we, if we vote to take this to the board, give the board a project narrower than accounting for debits that they can focus on and make an intelligent decision about? So let me.
I think so. I think the analysis that we've done, presented now three times, if you include this meeting, I think we can draw out from there why is it that there's a problem? What is it that people are looking at to take them either one way or the other way, and identify that as being the tension within the standard? So I think we could do that.
And we can do that using the three additional issues as expository without the committee having to discuss them, question mark?
Well, the three additional issues, though, are connect with other areas. So I don't necessarily see those as fitting in. The reason for bringing this all together was just reflecting back on past discussions on other standards, such as IS7, where we had a whole number of issues. We really thought, well, we've gathered together, we've received a number of requests here related to the same standard, albeit lots of different parts of the same standard. We really ought to be thinking about how can we gather these together and look at them together, and if there is going to be, or if there should be a broader scope project looking at the standard, then obviously we'd want to have all of this looked at as part of one whole project.
These are issues 5, 6, and 7 in paragraph 7?
That's right.
Okay. Let's take this in pieces. Before I do that, to Bruce?
I guess the only question I had, maybe it's a question of the board members here. I mean, is the board happy that we send issues to them that we haven't discussed? I mean, I haven't had this, obviously, in my second meeting. But, I mean, you know, to me, the issue is it not kind of accepting a bit of defeat before we've even roundtabled the issue? And
let's hold that, because that was going to be the first question I asked. So
over to you.
Okay. Question one. Do all y'all want to discuss 5, 6, and 7 before we press on with any other course? Show of hands.
Six in the room.
Fei Long?
Excuse me, what's the question?
Please?
Excuse me. Yeah, excuse me, what's the question? Wait.
The question is, before we refer anything to the board, should our next step be to address issues 5, 6, and 7 in a committee meeting before we make any decision on sending a package to the board?
I think that will be better.
Okay. Martin?
Yes.
Yes. Sandy?
I guess. I'm trying to assess the probability that we'll reach a conclusion. I don't know without trying, so I guess the answer would be yes.
Well, remember, probability in IFRS means more likely than not. So. Okay. I think the support is that before we move in any further with the referring something to the board, we address 5, 6, and 7.